If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue on what is an absolutely beautiful spring day. I think this is the first official day of spring. I think they have, is it meteorological spring that may, like Bennett, do you happen to know offhand, is this the first like day of normal spring?
Traditional spring, yes.
Wow. And it's great, too. I mean, if there's a blizzard on this day, it makes you question the whole, what are we doing with the seasons thing, right? Why don't we just have kind of floating seasons? But great to be in studio and great to be with you today on a great day. And we're going to have a great show. We're going to be all over the place. Of course, food is the wheelhouse, so we're going to talk a little bit of food as we go on. But great events. We're going to have some non-food things to talk about as well and kind of blend food and film. So coming up after this first break, Jonathan Gold, he's the food critic for the LA Times. He is a Pulitzer Prize winner and has a new documentary that is in town premiering over the last couple days. Got a chance to meet not only Laura Gabbert, the director, but him as well. And for me, it's a little bit of like a cool food media geek moment. So it was great to actually get down to talk to him. A fascinating guy. So we'll talk to him right after the break. And then also we're going to have Common Threads. Now, Common Threads is a charity that's based here. It does work all over the place. Chef Art Smith, if you're familiar with him. He was Oprah's chef for a long time. This is his cause, and it has to do with helping kids in schools. We're going to talk with Kellen Telly about that, along with Beth Peterson. She will be in studio. And then coming up in the second hour, David Manilow from Check Please. Check Please, we think of it as us in Chicago, but he has expanded to markets all over. He'll be calling in live from Phoenix, Arizona. So look forward to that. And then Brady Lowe, Cashone 555, again, a national thing, but coming back to Chicago soon with Heritage Breed Pigs and that tour. It is going to be absolutely awesome. Mike Heideman is going to join us from South by Southwest. I guess he's calling in direct from Texas. So we have a lot of kind of interstate connections happening today on the program. And then also Jacqueline Baird with Yelp. You think about what to do, but people think about what they think about and want to share those opinions. They do it on Yelp, but also on their event side. They do a great job. She'll be in studio telling people what to do, some different events going on, not only in the city, but in the suburbs. So stay tuned for that. All that and much more. Plus Jonathan Gold coming up right after the break. It's Dane Neal in for Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
I got a bone to pick.
This is Jonathan Gold from the Los Angeles Times, and you're listening to Dane on WGN.
I'm mad, but I ain't stressing. True friends. One question.
720 WGN, Dane Neal here in Chicago. And Chicago, of course, a great food town. It is a little better by population of one. Well, two if you account Director Laura Gabbert. But a guy who means so much to the food world all across the country, specifically to Los Angeles, is here, Jonathan Gold. He's not here critiquing restaurants or doing reviews, although he may, you know, in his own mind think this is great or maybe this not so much. He's here for the purpose of cinematic greatness, as the movie City of Gold comes to Chicago, premiering over the next couple days and then being showcased here over the next couple weeks. Jonathan Gold, welcome to WGN.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be here.
You know, I got to get this out of the way first off. It's a tremendous honor as somebody that works in and around food and food media, number one, to get a chance to hang out with you, you know, and be able to spend a little bit of time with you. And of course, here at this great pop-up dinner, you had pretty much a lot of the Chicago media people here. Is it nice to get to talk to some of the people who do what you do in other places?
It is. There's a good food media in Chicago. I think that LTH Forum is probably the best online food discussion group in the country. In fact, I don't mean probably. It is. And people here are just so passionate about the food that's in the Chicago area.
One of the things I loved about City of Gold, of course, it's a documentary. It kind of is a day in the life, even though it was like 4 years, right, mm-hmm. in the life. But it kind of is you doing what it is that you do, is you're helping to, I don't want to say necessarily redefine, but you're trying to kind of put forward what is so important to Los Angeles, which is its food scene, right? And different cities have definitions. You know, Chicago is a great food town now. Of course, we've got, you know, sports and violence and all those things. But for the longest time, you know, L.A., people think of it as Hollywood and movies, but it's just such a big food town, and so you're sharing that.
Yeah, people have an idea of what Los Angeles is like. They've seen in every television show they've ever watched. You know, in every movie, like, different parts of L.A. are standing in for different parts of things, and people sometimes, if they haven't spent time there, think that it's all about, you know, Botox and skinny blondes and limousines, and that's a tiny part of what goes on there. It's a metropolis of 18 million people, you know, probably 150 different nationalities and groups, you know, crammed together in the area, and the food that they're cooking is astonishing, and food is always one of the best ways to explore a city, I think.
Yeah, and when you talk about some of the things that you're doing as far as, like, sharing some of those messages and telling some of those stories, a lot of the stuff that we do here, we've got, you know, celebrity chefs. And then certainly there are many of those in Los Angeles. But what was so cool is you're highlighting, you're as just as impressed as far as giving weight to the kind of things they do and merit to the importance of it, to just like your average ma and pa place that's doing it. I mean, you give them real strength in the business.
I try to. It interests me. And if somebody's doing Ethiopian food that just knocks it out of the park every time, or is cooking the best Southern Thai food in the United States, or is doing Oaxacan food that makes you, like, cry for the beauty of the mole sauces and fried grasshopper tacos and memeles and those giant, like, truck tire-sized clayudas every time you go there, I mean, why shouldn't you celebrate that?
When it comes to kind of telling those stories, and this is it, you know, not everybody can know all of those nuances of the different cultures and the foods, but what you do is you make it approachable because you tell it in such a way that it makes it something that I think everybody can either understand or kind of just learn along with you, the way that you write. Like, was that by design that you said, I need to write it in such a way that people can feel comfortable learning about it as opposed to some other food critics and food writing? Or was it just, this is the way I talk, I'm going to talk this way?
Well, I think of food as, you know, an important part of culture. It's inherent. It's like the TV shows you watch or the movies you watch or the music you listen to. But one thing I try never to do is to pretend to expertise that I don't have. And in my writing about, you know, different cuisines and different food styles, it's a process of learning. It's a journey to understanding. And I think most of the time writing about the journey is just as interesting, if not more interesting, than what you find when you get there. I mean, the film City of Gold, I was surprised when I saw the final cut. It probably has more shots of me behind the wheel of my truck, driving around, pointing out restaurants, talking about, you know, things that happened in my city, than it does of me sitting down at table and actually eating things.
I think, and that's what was so cool about it. The movie, of course, you want people to get out there and enjoy City of Gold, come see it in Chicago and see it in whatever format you get a chance to do that. But that is one of the things that I loved about it, is that it seemed all very natural, very relaxed. Obviously, you know, it's not easy to make a film, but was it a comfortable process? So they followed you around. I know it took 4 years, so it wasn't like a day in the life, but
maybe because it did take 4 years and it wasn't an intensive thing. I mean, Laura Gabbert and a photographer, and, you know, maybe somebody with doing sound would show up, you know, once a week, once every couple weeks, and we'd drive around on my truck and we'd go someplace for lunch, and then we'd go home, and you repeat that, you know, 40, 50, 60 times. And you know you've done something, but you don't quite know what it is that you've done.
When it comes to what you've done, and this is it, obviously performing, you know, you're writing for your readers, right? And they get to learn about some of the places that are out there. But, like, the impact is so much greater than the sum of the parts of what it is that you're doing. And in the film, you reference some of them. It's just what it means because you're because you have that relationship with the readers, is that it really means something, you know? And so when they trust your opinion, they trust what it is that you're doing. So when you write about something, it really does make an impact.
Yeah, people talk about the Jonathan Gold effect sometimes.
Nice.
I don't do it to have that happen. And because I have to review so many restaurants a year, I don't often get the chance to go back and see what's happened in places. So some of the stories, like of a a brilliant Ethiopian chef named Gennet Aganifer, has a story in the film about a review pulling her out of a big slump after 9/11 and being able to repay her son and sort of establish herself and her family and her community in just a completely lovely way. But I found out about that for the first time when I saw a rough cut of the film.
See, that's neat. I mean, the impact is there, the Jonathan Gold effect. And I liken it here in Chicago, a totally different genre, but still matches with it because, you know, food and then also film is Roger Ebert was one of those guys that because of the way that he spoke and the way that people responded to what his expertise was in films is that when he said something was good or he valued it, it made an impact. Do you ever see any kind of tie-ins with that? Because on the food side, that's something in Chicago that we say, like, wow, Jonathan is like that, except on food.
I'm incredibly flattered to be compared to Roger Ebert. I mean, he had such an effect, not just on Chicago, but on the entire world of film. And if what I'm doing is anything like that, then it's not for me to say, but, you know, I'm obviously pleased.
You talk about the impact on the food side, but of course I think that what it is that you're doing, especially with this movie, so many people are going to see it all around the country. Do you ever think about the impact that you have on the food media side? When you're talking, you know, back in 2010 or whenever when you guys were starting to film, it was such a different landscape, so many fewer, you know, people doing it. But do you think how many careers maybe you've launched or people you've influenced that are going to be doing kind of what you're doing?
Again, it's not for me to say, but yeah, it's been interesting. I've been a food writer for 30 years, and I've seen lots of different cycles. And I think maybe I took a certain kind of food more seriously than other people were doing at the time. But now I think if you're going to be a food critic in a major town, you've got to know what the major barbecue stands are. You've got to know which of the five best taco places is up and which is down. If you're in a place like Chicago, I mean, you've got to have a pretty good knowledge of, like, not just the restaurants you're expected to know, but, you know, the Lithuanian places out in Cicero, or the Romanian Polish stuff up on Milwaukee, or, you know, whatever's happening in Pilsen. It's absolutely necessary, and it's a big part of the culture of the city.
One of the things that's really cool about the film, and it is in there, is that the relationship that you have and the respect level that you have with chefs. And it isn't necessarily from a typical food critic perspective, where oftentimes, you know, people will go in, they'll describe whether it's good or it's bad. Sometimes it's punitive, sometimes it's supportive. But David Chang said is that one of the things that he loves about you is that you have, like, a true empathy. I mean, you seem to, like, have, like, you understand the challenges that either that restaurant or that culture or whatever may be having, and you just take it all into consideration when assessing the food.
Well, chefs work really hard, and there is the thing with restaurant critics is, like, unlike, say, film critics, our reviews can have a real sort of palpable effect. And I've closed a lot of restaurants in my day, and it's never fun. It's never something that I would do gleefully or for the sake of a laugh or for the sake of a good column. And sometimes you have to do it, but it should always be measured. You should always know what you're doing. And on the flip side of that, I love to encourage young chefs who are really taking chances, because they're the people who are going to be making the great food in 10 years.
Well, being able to take something unorthodox, and this is another thing highlighted in City of Gold, is it's one thing to say this restaurant's doing it right, but it's another to kind of really help start and jumpstart a movement like the food truck movement. I got a chance to interview Roy Choi from Koji as one of the Food & Wine Best New Chefs, I think it was in 2010, in Aspen, and just the idea that it was a food truck that this was coming from was just so, it was so foreign. Now, today, it just seems natural, but you were the guy who identified that and also put that value on it, right? That this belongs right up there with everything else.
Yeah, you have to be able to put your presuppositions away. It was obvious when I went to the Kogi truck for the first time. when I drove to a deserted parking lot in a weird suburb, and there were 600 people waiting in line, looking at their cell phones, waiting for the truck to come, that something had happened, that it was sort of the confluence of social media, the fact that he was doing Korean tacos with, you know, two of the major food groups in Los Angeles coming together in an unusual, delicious, and unprecedented way, and sort of the force of his own personality. It jump-started the food truck movement in the country. There had always been food trucks, but there hadn't been food trucks like that. I mean, in the same way, you know, I've written ecstatically about a former, you know, Dukas disciple doing great tacos with the best ingredients available. I've written about a guy in a hipster mall in Costa Mesa, sort of in Orange County, who's had the mandate to do a taco place and transformed it almost overnight into one of the most interesting, sophisticated, you know, Mexican-flavored restaurants in the country. You know, I wrote about Ludo Bites when he was, who I know you've talked to, I mean, Ludo Lefebvre, when he was popping up doing dinners a couple nights a week in a friend's bakery, because it was obvious that what he was doing was important, heartfelt, and completely delicious. I mean, great food can be literally anywhere. You have to know where to look for it.
And to be able to, right, just not have whatever the trappings of it weigh in or overweigh on how good it is, and just to be able to identify that and be open to like all that. And I think that's the natural curiosity that you have, is always open to exploring, always looking for that next great bite wherever it may be. Well, renowned all over the world, certainly across the country, and beloved as a food journalist and so many accolades and awards for being a star, a true star, for what it is that you do. So what is it going to be like being a movie star?
I'm not a movie star. I'm used to being on the other side of the microphone. It's just, I'm glad Laura Gabbert made an entertaining film about what I do. And I think it shows my Los Angeles in a beautiful light, and a light that I understand. I can't imagine making another film.
A tremendous ambassador for everything in Los Angeles, and certainly, you know, one of the greatest voices for what it is that you do on the food side and in so many other ways. And it's great for people to be able to enjoy you on the movie side as well. So, Jonathan, thanks so much for making the movie, number one. Thanks so much for being here in Chicago, and thanks for being in WGN.
Thanks for having me. It's been wonderful.
WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate, Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue, on a beautiful first day of spring. And thanks, Bennett, Wake Night in the Booth, for the super jazzy, drum-centric bumper.
I like to keep people on their toes.
It's nice. It's nice. And you were back there kind of shadow drumming along with it. So here we are in Fort Frank, Fontana today. And one of the things about a great city is there's so many great causes and great foundations and people doing important work to try to support all manner of things, whether it's hunger, whether it's the environment, whether it's kids, and something that resonates certainly with me a lot, being a father of a few kids, and they are in schools, is some of the work that Common Threads is in and around as far as being involved with. In studio with us, we've got a guy working on the development side for it, Kevin Telly. Kevin, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
And good to, now, what would you normally be doing on a day like today?
That's a great question. Watching NCAA March Madness.
I was going to say, because, right, he brought in his own monitor, right, and he is actually watching. And during the last thing, he was in studio during the last interview, and he was intermittently cheering. No, I'm just kidding. You just have
inside
your,
I was. Right, inside. Because I'm third in my bracket at Common Threads, so.
Oh, that's right.
Not a big deal.
So if they win, the Common Threads and the kids benefit. And also in studio to my right, Beth Peterson, who is involved with this organization as well. Beth, welcome to WGN.
Thank you.
So let's talk about it. So Common Threads, and to kind of give the listeners a little bit of an insight, I'm familiar with it. It is the personal primary cause and charity for Chef Art Smith, who we know from all of his work that he's done with Oprah, all of the restaurants, certainly for his fried chicken. I've interviewed him not only here in Chicago, but in South Beach and at a number of different events. But when it comes to the charity side, this is what he does. So give us kind of a thumbnail, if you can, Kevin, sure. on Common Threads.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were founded here in Chicago in 2003. And the reason why we exist, we realize that there's an issue with childhood obesity. Over one third of children and adolescents in the United States right now are either overweight or obese. And also there's a lack of education, and there's an issue with food insecurity as well in underserved populations. So our goal is to bring hands-on cooking skills and nutrition education to these underserved communities. So we've been doing that in Chicago since 2003. Right now we're operating in 8 cities across the United States, and in the 2014-2015 school year we served over 40,000 individuals.
Wow. Yeah.
And 16,000 in Chicago alone.
When it comes to hands-on cooking skills, sure. what is it as far as the things that people would need or would benefit from, and what are the kind of things specifically that you guys are giving them?
Sure, absolutely. So our main flagship program is called Cooking Skills and World Cuisine. It's an after-school program, lasts for about 10 weeks, and kids are taken through a journey, and they're basically cooking recipes from all over the world. We've got recipes from Senegal, recipes mm-hmm. from Italy, everything like that, and they're learning knife skills. They're going in to their kitchen of their own school every day and making these recipes.
And I, first of all, I have to say, Kevin knows this, I am a Common Thread super fan. Mm-hmm. I love this organization.
I knew this, and I yeah. thought it was March Madness related, but of course Beth does have the foam finger that says Common Threads
it's
on
true.
It.
Right?
That's true. Right.
Number one.
Yeah, there's a knife there as well.
Exactly. And I was really fortunate enough to get a chance to come in and see the program going.
Yeah.
And I got to have that Senegal stew,
yeah.
which the kids made, and they were so proud of. And it was so tasty. It was on that, I remember that day, Kevin, it was like a
snowy
yeah. cold day. And I walked in after having a long day. It was like after, an after school. It's an after school program. Mm. And I was like so ready to have yeah. that stew, and it was so great because they made it,
right.
and then they made their little baked plantains, mm-hmm. and they were so proud of what they had created.
Exactly, and it's so great. It was just so awesome to see Beth walk in, and all the students are showing off what they made, and Beth
yeah.
is trying all the food.
Yeah.
It's,
and then
it's
I got a
incredible.
Chance to go through their book. Because mm-hmm. the 10-week program comes with this great book that you guys have created.
Yeah. It's a little passport to
passport
take them through.
Passport, yeah. so they can get a chance to experience and try all the different cuisines from around the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, 2003 was, it wasn't that long ago, and I think in the history of the world, and of course dinosaurs were way, way, way before that, but in the world of kind of cooking, especially kids cooking,
yeah.
that was a million years ago.
Yeah.
And now
oh,
you
yeah.
see shows you know, like MasterChef Junior, and you see some of the shows on Food Network where kids are in there cooking. I have always been, it's kind of worn off a little. I mean, I'm accepting, right, that mm-hmm. they're and can be amazing. But back then, was this the kind of thing that people thought kids could do? I mean, now it seems this fits right in, but back then it was new stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly. It was. And it, we've evolved in terms of our, you know, kind of our mission and our goal. But
so
back then,
back then it was like, let's make ramen noodles. And like now it's right. like plantains from Senegal.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, they were still doing the plantains from Senegal back then. Yeah. But it has evolved over time.
Well, and I think about like when I was a kid in the after school, I was a latchkey kid.
Yeah.
Okay. So my sister and I would come home and I would have to kind of get things ready for dinner or cook like a snack after school or something like that. And so that really is kind of like one of the reasons why I love cooking so much, I think, is because I got a chance to like kind of get in there a little bit.
Yeah.
My mom did provide some like really good healthy things for us to cook, and she was a great cook. So we had that option, but not every kid has that opportunity, right, to mm-hmm. necessarily have all that good food waiting for them or someone to kind of show them how to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's great because they're learning all of these recipes and how to do all this stuff in school, so they bring it home to their families.
Well, the whole world cuisine is really interesting. And, mm-hmm. you know, talking with so many chefs and at so many different events around the country, it is like food is one of those kind of transformative languages that
yeah.
that goes beyond borders, right? And it can be a passport to all those communities. Maybe you get to know that Senegal even exists through the food, and then you learn a little bit more about the people
right.
And the culture from there. So ArtSmith is so identified with just really elevated and awesome American comfort food. Like,
yeah.
Who decides on which part of the world to focus on? Is there some kind of method or moral to the story behind it? Like, well, this is a region that could really use a little bit more attention. Or is it just like, this cuisine's really great, it's going to taste good, they're going to love it, they're going to make it one time in school, mm-hmm. and then forever at home? Like, how do you decide?
Yeah, so we have an internal team, someone that handles all of our curriculum development. We make it all and develop it all in-house. And so, yeah, I think it's just, we've had a lot of the recipes we've had for a long time. You know, they're very culturally diverse, and we're kind of, you know, catering to something that kids may have never seen before, for sure.
Well, and more than it is about, I mean, I think it's great that you're exposing kids to food from around the world, but mm-hmm. more so it's more about teaching them life skills, right? Just mm-hmm. how to cook healthy food for themselves right. and be able to cook for themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Are there some cultures that have really awesome food, but it's just completely unhealthy, but you still said, hey, it tastes so good?
Yeah. No, but we'll look for the, you know, of course, the healthier option.
And of course,
or modify.
And the knife skills, that is important stuff too. So not only do you have the awareness of those different dishes from around the world that you can make, but you also understand from the logistics, from the moving part side, how to make them. Mm-hmm. And those skills are the kind of things that are going to stick with you for a lifetime mm-hmm. As well. So the cause is Common Threads. Of course, Art Smith, so associated with Kevin Telly, is in studio with us. When we come back, and you can, of course, text in and call in 312-981-7200. We had a texter from the 847, want to know how they can get involved up in the north part of the suburbs and the city. So we're going to find out about that, as well as some events that you can attend and get involved with related to Common Threads. We're going to take a quick break. It's Dane Neal in for Frank Fontana on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, in for Frank Fontana on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. 312-981-7200 to text in or call in with your thoughts. We've got Kevin Telly from Common Threads in, as well as Beth Peterson from Common Threads, talking a little bit about the organization that helps try to limit childhood obesity, plus also giving kids cooking and culinary skills and information that they can use and enjoy not only during their school years, but for a lifetime. Guys, welcome back. And during the break, of course, people have texted in, like, how can they help? How can they get involved? We know how the kids get involved, right? They just kind of open their mind and then be careful with the knives and make some great food. But for parents or supporters, what do they do?
Absolutely. If you are interested in volunteering, we would love to have you in one of our classes. You can email info@commonthreads.org, and we'd be able to get back to you. If you're interested in learning more, you could visit www.commonthreads.org. We're also on Twitter and Instagram, as well as Facebook. And also, if you're looking to donate, you could do that through our website as well.
Now,
or one of the fundraisers, one of the big events you guys do.
We'll talk about those in just one second, because on the event side, Art Smith is, he loves events. He knows events. You know, his ice cream social I've attended. Mm-hmm. I actually covered his the 101 gay weddings that he put together, you know, that had not only so many stars of the food world there participating, but for such a great cause and exciting too. So he loves events, and you guys do too. So let's talk about some of the things coming up for Common Threads.
Of course, we've got some very exciting events coming up. First of all, I want to plug our big Chicago fundraiser, which comes up in October every year. It's called Cook Off. We get 30 chefs and mixologists from all over the city, some of the hottest restaurants. And if you attend, you get to vote on your favorite dish. It's a blast every year. So the official date and location will be coming up. You could visit our website for more information. If you're in LA, we have an event coming up on March 27th. It's called Dine by Design. Again, we're bringing in about...
If you
happen to be in LA.
The 27th, that's days away. You could get a flight and head out there,
absolutely.
I guess.
Yeah, of course. Please do. Tickets available on our website. And then we have our Cooking for Life Festival coming up in Miami from the 23rd through the 25th of September. And that's a weekend festival. There's a brunch. There's some cooking demos. It's going to be a blast. It's a second annual.
Definitely time to get tickets for that.
Oh, yeah.
So locally, let's talk about some of the things coming up, or some of the ways that even maybe people could help host a fundraiser. I know that it's an organization. It's a charitable organization. It's a 501c3. So support on the dollar side is always needed and welcome. Mm-hmm. And then on the volunteer side, when you mentioned that, like, if people were going to volunteer, what would they be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And Beth, you know, you were there, but... As we said, our after-school programming is exactly where volunteers come in. They come in, they work with about a group of five students, they help them through the recipe, and then everyone sits down and eats their meal at the end of the session. Yeah.
It's a pretty good volunteer position, if I have to say so.
It's a blast.
You know, because you get to eat at the end, which is pretty great.
And then on the support side, is there, you know, is it just dollars, or can people donate either like cooking utensils or food? I mean, is there any other kind of creative ways that people can support what it is that you're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if anyone wants to donate any sort of utensils or cooking equipment like that, we can use it in our programming, our after school programming, as well as food or, you know, event space, anything like that. We're always open to it, or any sort of skill based volunteering. We could use that kind of behind the scenes in the office. So we're open to everything.
And then on the if you wanted to host your own event, I mean, you've got set events, but it seems certainly it's in kind of the food space wheelhouse. But
sure.
If let's say somebody wanted to do something, you guys are in Cook County mm-hmm. proper specifically now. Are you mm-hmm. open to things in the suburbs if people
yeah.
have ideas?
Absolutely. If people have ideas, absolutely. Again, info@commonthreads.org, and we'll be able to get back to you with your ideas. But we would love, I mean, any sort of fundraising on our behalf is always welcome.
And the events are really fun.
Yeah.
So I think coming out to some of the events and helping to support is a really great way to be involved as well.
Absolutely.
So on the development side, Kevin, you do so many different things. But for Art Smith, like, what is it? Is there like a big red kind of bat phone that you pick up if you need him
oh, yeah.
or Jesus to come out or do some things, or if you need the kids? Like, what for those people? And he has so many fans,
yeah.
not only of his food, but for him and some of the things that he does. Like, what does he do? Like, is he in the office all the time? Is he in the office now and then? Like, when do you see Art?
Sure. So he comes to our cook-off event every year, which is great. We did a fundraiser last year that he kind of came out to and emceed back in May. I think it was like a spring kickoff event. But yeah, I mean, he's living in Florida. He's always there supporting. He's, you know, of course, the chair of our board. So
and the Miami contingent's pretty big, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big, you know, this is a national organization.
Absolutely.
You have Common Thread in what cities in the country?
We are
Chicago,
LA, New York, DC, Miami, Jacksonville, New Orleans, and Austin, Texas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Taking over. That's
absolutely
great.
And actually, the superintendent of Miami-Dade Public Schools, Alberto Carvalho, is actually on our national board, just joined. So that's some big news
I just saw that last week.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing.
Fantastic.
Especially because so much is happening in Miami for
yeah.
Common Threads.
Mm-hmm. And he's been an incredible supporter of our for years. So.
Well, okay. So, and a little curious, when you sat down here before we got on,
mm-hmm.
you know, working, supporting great causes and, you know, out there trying to generate not only the interest, but the support necessary for
yeah.
Common Threads, but you are and have been a radio guy in the
yeah.
past, you know, and so you wanted to. So talk a little bit about that, your background, because
sure.
people sometimes wonder what, when someone gets in here, they've got a job, it's a very cool job, you know, they're passionate about it, excited about what they are doing, like what that path is like, you know, to get to that. You didn't just kind of pop out of, you know, wherever you came from and boom, I'm
yeah.
doing Common Threads. There was a pathway.
Right. Yeah. I didn't graduate high school and I was like, man, I would just want to raise money. That's all I want to do.
Well, not just that, but, you know, teach kids to cook.
No,
and, you
absolutely.
Know.
Yeah. I
but
mean,
some people did. Some people are, I always want to raise money, I guess. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
you're right. But for you, how did it happen?
Sure. So I went to Fairfield University, graduated. I was very involved in our radio station, WVOF 88.5.
I think you've got a good radio voice. Don't you think?
Yeah. I had actually turned down the mic a little bit. So a little boom in there.
A little too much baritone. But that was a blast. After that, I moved to Chicago, worked at Cristo Rey Jesuit High School. It's in Pilsen. Incredible school. I taught there for 2 years, and that was a nonprofit in itself. So from there, I kind of wanted to go into the fundraising side of things, found Common Threads, and I've been happy ever since.
So do you travel the country for some of these events as well? I know you're based right here, so
yeah.
this is maybe your wheelhouse, so this is it.
Exactly.
Chicago. So
yeah.
how do people get a hold of you, Kevin, if they want to get a hold of you to kind of go into things? I know you mentioned
yeah.
info@commonthreads. Is there a specific way people can reach you?
Yeah, if you want to send me an email, ktellie@commonthreads.org. Love to talk to you. Also, 312-462-0718 is our office line. So I'm at the desk every day. If you'd like to talk,
and
learn more.
He answers.
answer.
You're the first person I talk to there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
So a lot of options. It is one of those causes that's based here, doing so many great things in an area that is really not only cool and fun, mm-hmm. but also necessary on the kids and the culinary side. So it is commonthreads.org
mm-hmm.
is the website. So Kevin, thanks so much for being in WGN. Thanks for sharing your story. And
thank
there's
you,
a lot
man.
Of ways for people to get involved. Beth, again, thanks so much for what you're doing. This is a great organization to be involved with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got David Manilow. If you love Check Please, and who doesn't, right? It is
oh,
one
yeah.
of those things that's here. He travels, and he had mentioned he's in Arizona right now. There's a Check Please festival going on there,
really?
And he's one of the keynote speakers, as he should be. You're sitting
sure.
And speaking on a panel. He's like, Dane, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to be doing. I'm like, be careful. Those those Czech Police fans are rabid. It's like, you know, Beatles, right? So that's yes, right. They're going to tear your clothing. Of course, when in Arizona,
bodyguards.
You got to watch out for the dry heat. And you got to watch out for scorpions.
Got to stay hydrated for sure.
Rattlesnakes and all that. So when we come back after the break, we are going to talk with David Mendel. It's Dane Neal in studio on 720 WGN.
It's
fabulous.
Everything is homemade from scratch.
Everyone there is just so knowledgeable about wine.
We ate like pigs.
The food is very interesting.
So wonderful. My mouth is watering right now.
Three words, ooh la la. And I walked in.
No, I would not go back there.
Bad dining experience.
It's the best Mexican restaurant in the city.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Love it. Thank you, Benedict. Okay. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio. And you think about kind of great food television in Chicago. Check Please is that beautifully simple, right? Where it just has people sharing the best and the worst of what it is as far as their experiences. And it's all captured by the visionary founder behind it all, who's on the line with us. It's David Manilow himself. David, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane.
Now, as the Check Please empire expands, not only are you creating additional content for the masses out there, but you are creating additional fans. And so you are speaking at a Check Please fest or Check Please event. You're calling us from Arizona.
I am. I'm in lovely Phoenix. It's about 80 degrees here. I see a cloud. And we're at the Check Please Arizona Festival because we have a show in Arizona. And right now, Lydia Bastianich, also a PBS host and owner of lots of restaurants, quite famous, is holding a panel discussion. She's got about, gosh, maybe 300 people watching her. There's 1,800 attendees here. Everybody's having a good time. It started about an hour ago, so all is good. About, I think 30-something restaurants. It's great.
Check Please Fest Arizona. Now, did you ever think when you wanted to create a show that people could enjoy and watch? And, you know, it's a television program. But did you think it was going to be something so interactive that there would be not only a Check Please Fest, but one in faraway Arizona?
You know, when I started the thing, I just created a show that I'd like to watch, right? And so I figured I like food. I want to know what's going on there. I tried to make it a very honest, diverse, juxtaposed show where we had people from all over. I didn't want to make it the, you know, Chamber of Commerce show or something that you'd see on, like, a hotel magazine. Not that there's anything wrong with those ideas, but I thought that there was a place to get, you know, real opinions from real people. And my background's television, so I understood a little bit about how to make something like that work. And, you know, authenticity is kind of an overused word, but when we started in 2001, you know, there wasn't much like it out there. And I'm just thrilled that it's expanded to places like Phoenix and San Francisco and South Florida and Miami. And I have a new one that we're doing in Vienna, Austria. So we're hoping to expand into Europe. We'll see how that goes.
Oh my
But did I envision festivals with, you know, a couple thousand people? No, of course not. But it's wonderful. I'll tell you, I was walking around here smiling. I really was. It was great.
You know, here's the thing. There are some moving parts within the thing that you don't know what's going to happen if you take them out. Nothing happens in a vacuum. And on the show, you have the three people and they share their opinions, but you usually have a referee in the form for so many years of Alpana Singh, now Catherine D'Orio. When you get 1,800 people each, have any fights broken out, or is everyone kind of discussing their opinions, their Check Please thoughts in peaceful ways?
You mean at the festival?
At the festival, I mean.
At the festival, there's not a whole lot of opinion. I don't think. I think there's a judging going on here, like vote for your favorite restaurant at the festival. I think people are pretty happy and well-behaved and enjoying a beautiful day. You know, there's also auditions going on here for the show. In Chicago, we've had about, 35, 6, 7,000 people who've signed up to be guests on the show. And, you know, this in Phoenix, this is season 6, so they've got a lot of people signing up. But it's a very inclusive, you know, this is a very inclusive experience. The show's very inclusive, and that's the way we, you know, kind of always wanted to be. And I always wanted to have a host like Alpana or Catherine, who not only are very welcoming and make our guests feel comfortable, but also represent the show as kind of ambassadors within the restaurant community in Chicago. And we've been lucky that we've had them, and we've done that for 15 years now in Chicago.
Yeah, and not only in all those markets has it been popular and expanding, but of course here, it is the it is, I think, the one hit show that you can not only aspire to be on, regardless of your walk of life or talent level, but you can actually be on. So even though it seems like it's maybe the waiting list for Cubs season tickets, so how, let's say people have opinions, they want to share their favorite place. How do people get on the show?
Well, first of all, it's not a waiting list in the sense like, you know, you're next up in line. So somebody could sign up to be on tomorrow and they could be on the first show of next season.
Nice.
Because we tried to talk to every person that signs up that we think, you know, has a shot of being on the show. If somebody puts, you know, free chain restaurants, we're probably not going to talk to them. But they go to WTTW.com/checkplease. There's a easy, clearly, I think even you and I could sign up for the show. 37,000 people have figured it out. I got to believe it's not that hard. If you forget the WTTW, you can Google Check Please. You can go to checkplease.tv, which also gets you there. So we make it pretty user-friendly to sign up.
All right. So the fact that I put Chili's in is the restaurant that I want to review. I mean, that's probably what's been holding me back all these years.
For you, maybe. No. You know, I would give some tips for people who sign up, which is, you know, give us something interesting to look at. You know, tell us why you'd be a good guest. And a good guest, you know, somebody who, you know, has maybe an interesting perspective. We have no problem. We're very non-judgmental with people, right? We just have all kinds of people. We don't use a classically trained chef or even like a serious foodie. If you just have to have some passion for your restaurant.
Well, have passion, be able to share it. It makes for not only a great experience for the people, to a person, but the restaurant, but also the viewer as well. So before we let you go, and you're there, so what has it been like as the creator, the founder? You're there. I mean, are people clawing at you? Are you getting your picture taken with people? Or are you kind of under the radar as like the anonymous guy?
I am so under the radar that there's actually a picture of me at the panel stage, and still, I think I could stand next to the picture and people would still walk right by. So, I'm pretty nondescript over here in Phoenix, but it's, you know, they've done a really, really great job here. I mean, they have two cooking demo stages. They have, you know, part of one of their sponsors, Mercedes. They have some fabulous new Mercedes out here. They've got panel discussions. They've got wineries and great beer and, you know, all kinds of stuff and cocktails. So, you know, it's been a really nice, it's a really, really nice event. People are having a really good time.
Oh, it sounds great. So David Manilow is there in Arizona. He is the one carrying the picture that says, "It's me, David Manilow," with him for those people here that want to enjoy everything that you're doing here on Check Please, plus the new Chat Please videos that you've got, which have been outstanding. Let's get that website before we let you go.
That you can find, you can either Google Chat Please or you can go to WTTW.com/chat please. And I have actually this upcoming week, I'm interviewing Ina. I'm interviewing both Jimmy Banos Jr. and Sr. We've done everyone from Rich Melman, Paul Kahn. And then we try to do specific things, like we'll do one on ramen and one on chocolate and one on service from the Gibson's guys. So check them out. I think it's a different perspective on what's going on in the restaurant industry and restaurants around Chicago.
Yep, it's exciting stuff, and encourage everybody to get out there and see it whenever they can. Well, be safe, David. Stay there. Remember, you're looking up right now at the cloud in the sky. You should look down because there could be rattlesnakes or scorpions. I've heard that that those are there.
Yeah. I'll stop them out with my cowboy boots.
All right, thanks, David. Travel safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan. All right, take care.
All right, David Mayo, Check Please, right? And he's having fun with it. Imagine you start a show. Not only do you have a successful show, but you've got 1,800, 2,000 people showing up at a fest based around your show.
That's got to be very exciting.
That's pretty crazy.
That's got to be really exciting.
Yeah. Well, he seems excited. Yeah, but not too excited to watch out for scorpions and stomp him out with his cowboy. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got Michael Heidemann, Chicago's very own, WGN's very own, who has traveled to the faraway and exciting entertainment island that is South by Southwest. He'll be joining us in just a second. It's Dave Neal here on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Again, it is a beautiful day still, at least at this point, or it was an hour ago when we got in here. Typically, the weather in Chicago doesn't well, it's not the same as the weather in Texas. And usually this time of year, Texas is much nicer. But Michael Heidemann is on the line. He is one of those guys that, of course, is such a big part of the things that we do here at WGN, but out there creating great content with his podcast and also exploring. And he's on site at South by Southwest. Mike, welcome to your station, the WGN.
Dane, it is great to be speaking to you. How are you doing?
I am doing good. Now, they say when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So, Michael, I know that, you know, typically you're a relatively conservative dresser, not too flamboyant, but do you have, you know, a cowboy hat on? Do you have a large belt buckle, or what are you wearing?
I've got my boots on with a big old belt buckle, and I'm set. I'm glad to be back in Chicago, but it was a great time in Austin for sure.
So think about this, and this is one of those festivals, excited to have you on to talk about it, that everyone has heard of, not everyone has been to, but more and more people are getting out there. But it's a little bit of mystery, because is it a music festival? Is it an art festival? Is it a food festival? And I guess it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's the 30th year that they've been doing this here in Austin, Texas. So you're exactly right. It's a music, film, and interactive festivals. Those are the big three ones. But there's also things like comedy, health, and education, which are components of the South by Southwest Music Festival that have kind of just came over the last few years. And there's a great Chicago presence there as well. So yeah, it's a really big animal that you need to tame if you're going to take on the South by Southwest festival.
That sounds scary. You know, you're describing it as a animal needing taming. Now, for the comedy stuff, is it just randomly like there's things going on, or is there a comedy pavilion or a film pavilion? I mean, as far as a festival, having been in and around a lot of those, is it easy to get around and see everything?
Yeah, exactly. So there are a lot of like different spots that you can go to. Think of it more as like if Chicago just shut down for 2 weeks to put on like the biggest festival there is. So there's places like Astor's Follies for comedy. There's places like the Paramount Theater. And they have other theaters littered around the city that you can go in and see great, you know, the most amazing comedians you've seen in the past decade. You can go and see the biggest premieres left and right. And everything is within maybe 2 or 3 miles of each other, so it's really easy to get around to. And of course, there's things like Sixth Street, which is just basically Michigan Avenue if it was turned into bars and live music and a million people. So it's a really, really cool thing.
Well, you mentioned the best comedian, so I know Carrot Top is there, but who yep. else? Because I have heard, and you mentioned this kind of like eclectic group of celebrities, and you see the, you know, the tweets and the social media, so many people are attending. But I know the president was there, so it's got to be big. And then also, like, you saw like Anthony Bourdain, and also like who else? Like there was a bunch of kind of a team photo of really cool people.
Oh my, Dane, the festival is wild. The fact that the number of people they can bring out and the number of great speakers they can. Yeah, you were right. President Barack Obama was there. Love his comedy. Great guy. Michelle was there. Michelle Obama, Ellen Page, Pat Benatar, Ira Glass gave a discussion as well. And right up your alley was Anthony Bourdain, who gave one of the best kind of speeches panels there, speaking about the future of travel media. So it's a really good thing that you can sink your teeth into for sure, if you know where you're looking for. So lots of great speakers, lots of great comedy, lots of great film and everything else.
And of course, it's happening South by Southwest 30th year, but happening right there in Austin, Texas. And this is a city that has been on the map for the last handful of years as really one of these cannot miss cities, regardless of when you go, you know, whether it's to either the food and wine event or just in general, right? It is a city that is, I think, almost entertainment based, right? So much great music, so much great, I mean, for Texas culture. So what was your thoughts on that and people visiting Austin in general?
You know, you go there and you think, I'm going to eat barbecue. I'm going to go enjoy the hot weather. And that's kind of exactly what you do. Like being from Chicago, it was nice to get a break from the cold for a little bit and got to see how, you know, people in Texas live. Everyone is so nice. And the city is so welcoming during these 2 weeks of South by Southwest that it was a really cool experience. And I know you're a big fan of barbecue. So if you want to go down there, the barbecue is great, but, you know, as far as food goes, I'm going to still give it to Chicago that we've got them beat a little bit because they really like to take that crown. But Chicago has something that Austin doesn't have, and that's just the eclectic amount of food, which I really enjoy to be back here with.
Nice to hear a little hometown pride. And as far as getting around, yeah. And then the cost for an event like this, so there's things that, you know, we talk about and attend, whether it's in New York City, which is really hard to get around and very expensive. And Texas, you think in general, I mean, I watch, you know, House Hunters now and then, and the houses in Texas are surprisingly affordable. Is it an affordable fest? Is this something that people have to save up, you know, months and months for? Or can they kind of pick up a few weeks in advance and get over there? Or just are the tickets not available? How does it work as far as being able to get down there and make it happen dollar-wise?
Well, they definitely say that everything is bigger in Texas. So, of course, yes, the houses and the price for this festival is astronomical. If you want to get a badge, though, see, the badges allow you to get into all the festivals, whether if the platinum badge would let you get into the comedy, music, film, and more. But if you want to go there as just a person who would like to just check out the festival, there are so many free things you can do as far as music events or movies you can go to. It'd be expected to wait in line, but it's definitely worth it if you want to go and check it out and pay nothing. But on the other spectrum, getting a badge usually runs maybe $1,400 if you wait last minute to get it. And the cheapest it would be for a platinum badge, I think it's about $750. So, yeah, you might need to save it up a few weeks if you want to go and check out the festival. So, yeah. But it's worth it. It's worth it.
So it's definitely your recommendation. It's definitely something that people should try to get to at least one time in their life. And no matter what year that is, of course, even if it's not one of those kind of landmark years, there's always going to be something and maybe a whole lot of amazing things to see.
Exactly. If you love music and if you love comedy and TV and food, of course, this is the place to be. I mean, there's no other place where the greatest minds are there. I mean, I did a piece for WGN earlier this week that talks about the startup companies that are there. And they mentioned this really great quote where it's like the innovators, decision makers, and positive thinking minds who are going to be game changers like in the next 10 years are all at this festival. So the networking you can do there is amazing because these are the people that are going to be changing lives and will be making the truly amazing decisions in the next few years. So if for anything, get out there and try to meet some people while you're in Austin.
And if you love music, he mentioned music, of course, at the festival. But if you love music and want to hear about it, Michael Heidemann does an amazing podcast on WGN Plus. So tell a little bit about how people can catch up with you and enjoy what it is that you do all the time, not just when you're back from Texas.
You can go to, by the way, thank you, Dane. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate being on the show. You can go to WGNplus.com, search Michael Heidemann. Yes, I have a show, Sound Sessions, with fellow host Kevin Richter, who is the producer of Bill and Wendy, and we discuss music there. Otherwise, you can, you know, search Michael Heidemann WGN, and you'll be able to find all my interviews there. We have some really great ones coming out with Tony Robbins, Pee-wee Herman, and Matt Walsh and Matt Besser, who are natives from Chicago, who had a great improv movie come out. So, yeah, there's a lot of great ways to see you. And by the way, if you haven't checked out Dane's podcast on WGN Plus, make sure you do. Fantastic content. I love it all.
Okay, thank you. I didn't necessarily intend to, like, have the mutual appreciation, but it definitely is worthwhile, especially when it comes to Michael. Mike, thanks so much for taking time and joining the show today, and glad to have you back from Texas.
Thank you, Dane. Great talking to you.
All right, that's Michael Heidemann, WGN's very own, kind of our Pocahontas Indian guide to the ways of South by Southwest. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, Brady Lowe, the founder of Cajon 555, it's all over the country, coming to Chicago soon. So stay tuned for that. Quick break, 720, WGN. WGN 720, WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, in a beautiful day here. Everybody looks forward to great days like this where they can get out and about and enjoy it. And they also look forward to great events, incredible events that come to Chicago, either originate here or visit here on a traveling basis. And on the line with us is one of my favorite individuals, whether it's the food world or any planet in the solar system. And he is the guy behind Heritage Barbecue, Cajon Heritage Barbecue, and of course the signature series Cajon 555 that is on its way here to take Chicago by storm very, very soon. It is the one and only Brady Lowe. Brady, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me on air.
It's good to have you, man. So I know that it's been crazy. You are traveling the country, providing heritage breed awesomeness to so many people, so many cities. But you've got to admit, Chicago's your favorite.
I love it. Yeah, the food, the culture, the people, the sessions, everything. Chicago's one of the best cities in the country right now for just fun and hanging out with people and having a good time. And it's all, I mean, you guys know how many restaurants you have. You're lucky. So I get to come every once in a while and hang out.
You know, it's one thing when you have an event that people look forward to, and Cajon 555 is coming soon. It is always sold out. It is one of those events that food fans kind of mark on their calendar every year. It's another when you can have all of that. Plus, it's an event that the chefs absolutely love to participate in, to compete in, and to kind of share what it is that they're doing with their colleagues. I mean, this is one of those. Brady, I was down in South Beach, ran into Corey Morris and Jose Garces, and Corey came over to me at the table and said, like, hey, Dane, I'm going to be competing this year in Cajon 555. So they are looking forward to it long in advance.
Yeah, he's awesome. And their new spot over there at the Lowe's Hotel is stunning. We're really excited to team up with them. This will be one of the first, you know, for a few years, it'll be the first time we're going back to a hotel and Lowe's is hosting us. And the space is beautiful. Corey and Jose's restaurant there is awesome. So we're looking forward to that a lot.
So, Brady, when you come to town, regardless of the location, it's always, you know, great heritage breed pigs. It's great chefs, some of the top chefs in the area, spirits, a cool vibe, all of that. But as far as on the talent side, share some of the chefs that are going to be competing this year.
Well, we haven't fully released it, but I can tell you that we've got Corey Morris and Alfredo, who won the Heritage Barbecue event last year. So he's going to be competing. And then I've got three really special people who are going to be competing. I think we're going to release it in about a week.
Oh,
so
okay. It's three.
You'll be getting the hook. But it's we've always had really amazing lineups. And I'll tell you, like, this year will not disappoint. And we've got, you know, friends who are going to be doing dinners. It's a three-day weekend. So there's going to be, like, probably 25 to 30 chefs throughout the weekend that are participating in some way or form.
Yeah, Brady, let's talk a little bit about that, because it is, you know, where people think of it so much as far as just that one event on Sundays. It really is a full weekend with the late night speakeasy and the other things you build around it.
Yeah, we started off, you know, 8 years ago just hosting these fun 500 person events on a Sunday afternoon. And now we've expanded into having a guest chef dinner on Friday night where we get five chefs who do this late night Asian speakeasy, and that's a charity dinner. And then we have another charity dinner on Saturday night, which is Chef's Course, which is our oldest dinner series, which has been going on about 4 years. It started at James Beard House, you know, in 2011. And that's another five chefs. And both of those charity dinners really kind of amp up the weekend and provide kind of that seated, more elegant and fun vibe approach to what Cajon is all about, and more of an intimate setting for like 40 people. So there's small dinners. And then Sunday we have a big fest and it's a party and everyone comes out to support the cause.
You know, and I've got to tell the listeners too, is I've been to, you know, broadcast from, attended, covered, you know, events all across the country. And there's no event that I appreciate and like better and enjoy better, and I think I'm not alone, than the Cajon events. 555 is one of the very most unique events that you can get in there that really combines not only a cool vibe, kind of a rock atmosphere, but with amazing spirits and, of course, all those high-level chefs, and then just great pork dishes from the heritage breed pigs. And that has been really the focus since the beginning, was raising awareness about those farms, about those breeds, and helping to support that. And so much of what it is that happens, it's an amazing event. People go and enjoy it, but it supports Piggy Bank. So tell people what that is and how they can be involved.
For sure. It's an event from top to bottom. You're eating for a cause. And, you know, heritage breed pigs, at the core of it, a lot of people are not very, I guess, in tune with what's, you know, what heritage breed pigs are, which are really just an old style of livestock that basically needs preservation, or they go extinct. And this event, we eat a lot of them. So the more we eat, the more we save, and the more we put farmers to work. And, you know, and it's a working system. So it's a very sustainable event because it helps them get exposure. The small family farmers who raise these animals. So over the course of the last 8 years, we have really spent time looking and spending money on charities and investing in our communities. And this last year, had the opportunity to turn it on for our own foundation, which is called Piggy Bank. And what it does is we have a farm in Missouri, and we have different species of heritage breed pigs living side by side. So we have 10 different species, and those animals have offspring, and we give those breeding stock offspring to new family farmers. And all we ask in return is that they submit a business plan that helps them ensure that they're going to have a path and a foundation to work from. And then we take that business plan and publish it online for other farmers to read. So it's kind of a, we'll give you free pigs. We'll give you $10,000 worth of free pigs if you give us a business plan. And then fast forward 5 years, if we give away about 600 pigs a year, we're going to generate something about 300 business plans a year. And I think that's putting a lot of food on tables by safe, family, responsible farmers. And also, it's putting a lot of information of how to be a good family farmer and where you can find business plans that have marketing elements to them, herd stability reports, just a lot of information that's missing from the small family farming sector right now.
You know, it's one thing to say, wouldn't it be great if, and it's one thing to appreciate it on the event side. It's another to give farms and farmers the livestock, not only the kind of the battle plan, right? And then also the tools to be successful, not only from a growth standpoint, but also from a business standpoint. So it's very cool. It's called Piggy Bank. The events that support it are all based around the Cochon 555 Empire, which of course I'm a huge, huge fan. So before we let you go, Brady, give the website and how people can get information on tickets so they can attend some of those events this coming weekend.
Yeah, so it's basically Cochon555.com, and that's Cochon555.com, and that's the website. Tickets are $125 general admission, $200 VIP. VIP gets you in a whole hour early. It's like going to see your favorite movie and getting extra popcorn and extra everything that you love about that experience. It's just one extra hour, really worth it, and, you know, it's for a good cause. And April 24th. The weekend that's the weekend for the whole festivities.
Cochon555.com is the event, and all the information on the different events that you can attend, support, and of course Piggy Bank are there as well. And it's coming up. You got about a month to go ahead and save up and mark it on the calendar and get ready for it. And Brady, you know that we love what it is that you do. So excited to have you continue to do it, and excited to have you not only in Chicago coming up, but on WGN today.
Yeah, and thanks again, Dane. You guys are great, and it's always a pleasure and honor to hang out with you and talk food and how to change the future. So, you know, I'm a big fan and lover of WGN. So thanks for everything.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks, Brady. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. So, yeah. So it's an honor. No, I'm just saying, that's crazy, right? All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, that event is a month away. You're thinking, what am I going to do for a whole month? We've got Jacqueline Baird. She is from Yelp. She is going to be in studio telling us things that we can do over the next couple days coming up to Easter and all those things. She's going to be joining us in studio. It's Dane Neal, 720 WGN. Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. A great day to get out and do stuff. Great day to sit home. A lot of people are going to be watching March Madness at home in front of their television. Or maybe take your television, stick it out in the front yard, enjoy it out there. Just watch out for that glare. Let's say going to a food festival isn't necessarily the thing that you're going to do. You cannot wait, you know, a whole month till Cochon. And maybe you're not into college basketball, or your bracket is already crumpled up and in the trash, right? So you got to think what to do. Where do you go when you want to figure out what you can do, some fun things, you've got some time? You know what I do? I go to Yelp. And in studio, we've got Jacqueline Baird, and she is one of the community managers for Yelp here in the Chicagoland area, and she's in studio with us to help us out. Jacqueline, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. First, thanks for coming in, right? This is important information. I know people can go to the website, and we'll give out that Yelp address, but if you wanted to suggest So this is great. It's one thing to have the things all listed, but you've got a couple, a handful, if you will, of cool events that people can do over the next week or so.
I do. Yeah, I've got a good handful, a diverse handful, too, of fun things coming up this week.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
No, I did mention for the listeners, I did mention, you know, if you've got anything kind of funny or kooky, that's kind of always a little more interesting. But I guess there's some of everything. What?
Yeah, I mean, we've got events coming up, everything from fashion to brewery dinners, egg hunts, you know, Easter brunch with Easter coming up, a food festival, all different things going on around Chicagoland this
week. I think a fashion brewery Easter egg hunt.
Put it all together and you got a great event.
Well, let's talk about the fashion one. And what's great about Yelp is you guys are global right now, right?
You're in every
country in the world. So wherever you travel, you can definitely check out. You can leave, and if people think of it as, you know, you leave your responses or your reviews on what it is that you experience, but also on the event side. So fashion-wise, where is it located and what can people do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Bevelo is a local women's clothing store located in Lincoln Park. It's super cute, a really fashion-forward boutique. And this Wednesday, March 23rd at 7 p.m., they are doing their 2016 Spring Fashion Show. So what's nice is it's a free event, and it's super local, taking place in Lincoln Park. Attendees can enjoy complimentary light bites, drinks, and, of course, all the fashion that's coming up here this spring.
I've seen Zoolander a number of times, and so I'm under the impression I'm familiar with what happens at a fashion show, but I've never been to one. Have you ever been to a fashion show?
I have. A few years ago, I've been to one. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely what you could probably imagine it to be.
Right.
You know, you're sitting in the audience. This is a smaller scale just because it's, you know, at a local boutique, but,
right.
You know, they're strutting their stuff, showing what's new in fashion and what you can buy from Bevelo.
And it's free, so that is great. And in Lincoln Park. So one more time with the information on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bevelo 2016 Spring Fashion Show. It's this Wednesday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. And the store is located in Lincoln Park. And you can reserve your seat just by contacting the store.
So when it comes to craft beer, Chicago just passed all of the other cities except Portland as far as the amount of craft breweries located in and around Chicagoland. So we love our craft beer, and it's cool not only to pull it off the shelf at the local store, but also kind of to see how it's made, right? And so now there's you've got a brewery tour?
It's actually a brewery. It's a beer dinner, from a local brewery, Revolution Brewing.
Oh, those guys are great.
Love it. Love it. Anti-Hero is my favorite.
Nice. It's everyone's favorite.
Yes.
Is it because of the cool cartoon character on the front?
That definitely helps.
It's like some kind of like hop alien kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it is really good. And they've got a great restaurant, and they've got, of course, the beer dinner. So talk about that. That sounds
great. So it's called Hopped Up Revolution Beer Dinner, and it's actually taking place in the Crossroads restaurant at the House of Blues downtown. So that's coming up this Tuesday, March 22nd at 6:30 p.m. So guests can enjoy five courses inspired and fueled by Revolution Brews. So, and the cost of dinner includes all the courses plus a taster size portion of paired beer. So you can sample some of their beers paired perfectly with a nice five course meal.
And so what date is that? And then what is that? That's not free, obviously. And I know that you said the cost includes so many things, but what does it cost?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. They kind of left it open-ended, just a call for more info on that one.
Nice.
But,
so maybe it's one of those, like, you just leave a donation, whatever you think it's worth.
Yeah, we can only hope so. That'd be great. But yeah, it's Tuesday, March 22nd at 6:30 at the House of Blues.
Okay, so, and then what, I know you had was it an Easter egg hunt that's coming up?
Oh, yes. It's an Easter egg hunt. So Pinstripes, they have a handful of locations here in Chicagoland. They have Pinstripes is located in Oakbrook, South Barrington, Chicago, and Northbrook. And they are doing an Easter brunch with an egg hunt, you know, the Easter bunny, the whole thing. So that is on Easter, on Sunday, from 9:30 to 3. So if you don't have plans, they're doing an Easter egg hunt for the kids. They can search around the venue and receive special prizes. Of course, the Easter bunny will be on hand for photo ops.
Nice. Hear that, kids?
Yes.
It's the Easter bunny, the one and only.
Yes. And then, of course, they're offering a gourmet brunch with the whole spread of Easter favorites. And that is $30 for an adult, $50 per child, and then kids under 5 eat free.
That's not bad at all.
No, not at all.
You get the food, you get the brunch, you get the activity of the hunting, which I think can distract the children for a little bit, which is so important.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get get to meet, you know, a celebrity on hand, which is the Easter Bunny. And it's all for, was it $30 and then $50?
Yeah, it's $30 for an adult, $15 for a child. And then kids under 5 eat free. So it's super affordable. And, I mean, it's from 9:30 to 3. So it's a nice full day for cheap.
Jacqueline, do you know offhand, are you allowed to take pictures of the Easter Bunny or yourself with the Easter Bunny?
I believe so, yes. It's pretty casual from what I understand. He will just be kind of walking around on site for some photo ops. So.
Because, and so this is a great one. And for those families out there that maybe have seen the Easter Bunny at their local mall and you don't get anything, you get to meet the Easter Bunny. You can meet him, but you're not allowed to take pictures with him unless you buy the $40 picture package, you know, with that particular Easter Bunny. So it's tough, but Easter Bunny got to make money. You know that. So this is great to have it kind of combined into what will be a great brunch. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
And so what else do you have another one?
I do. Yeah. So the Good Food Festival is coming up this Saturday as well. It's taking place at the UIC Forum here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's super cool. It's basically it's celebrating good food that's local, sustainable, humane, fair.
Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, it's a great opportunity. You get to shop for local foods, learn from chef demos by Rick Bayless and other favorite chefs. They're also having some DIY workshops and even a kids' corner where you can introduce your kids to good foods.
It's the Good Food Festival, and that's at the UIC. Is it the Forum?
Yeah, the Forum.
Okay, so and is there a website for that?
There is, but I actually found it on yelp.com/events.
Oh, nice.
So it's listed right on there with all the info and a link to their website.
Well, that allows us a great opportunity. So if none of those events seem like things that you could necessarily get to, or maybe you're allergic to rabbits, you know, or beer or things like that. So many different events at yelp.com. So talk a little bit about, before we let you go, the kind of things that you can find there, the kind of events, and just how people can get involved in and learn from Yelp.
Absolutely. So yeah, Yelp's it's an awesome website and it's a free mobile app, and its main job is to connect people to great local businesses and events happening in their community. So everyone knows, you know, Yelp for the website for reading reviews and ratings, but we also have a special section, yelp.com/events, and you can find all sorts of events happening in Chicagoland. You can search by suburb, you can search by type of event, by date. It's a great resource for anything happening in the community.
It sounds awesome. There's oftentimes we've got some time and we have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And we end up doing something not as cool, right?
Absolutely.
So appreciate it. yelp.com/events.